back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm just talking about what almost seems to be inevitable. If the Democrats don't figure something out and soon, to turn back over control, well, it won't be total control because Joe Biden will be there to do what Tony Evers has been doing on the state level, you know, blocking all the insanity that Republicans put up every time you turn around. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl, thanks for taking my call. I do appreciate it. Not all of the hosts take my call anymore.
I will. I understand why, man. You say the same thing on all the shows.
Well, I tell the facts. You know why Tim Michaels is going to win? What's his motto?
I don't know what Tim Michaels' motto is. Why would
well,
I waste my
look
time?
Into it because, well, the red wave is coming because, again, last month, another record 239,000 illegal undocumented that they caught came into our country. Tim Michaels' platform is no driver's license, no benefits, and no tuition to undocumented people.
So why is that with all the issues going on in this country? It just goes to show, man, you know, who you guys are. There's so many things going on.
We're for law and order and actually enforcing our
law. If you're for law and order, go ahead, man. Finish your point, man.
Well, we're for law and order, and we're going to enforce all the laws, not pick and choose them like your party does, as we've had judges murdered, protests in front of judges,
Let me say this to you, man. You talk about protests in front of judges' homes. Is it illegal to protest in front of judges' homes? No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
Okay.
Too.
No, it's not.
You better check into the law.
Listen, I don't need to check into any law. People have been protesting in front of politicians' homes and others forever. That's part of your freedom of speech.
Well,
you conservatives, you pick and choose what you call freedoms. You know, only from what you see, and you conservatives talk about law and order, and you pick and choose what you mean by law and order.
Really?
Yes, you do.
It took January 6th for your party to care about crime. Crime has been on the rise for years because of
Let me say this to you, man. Where you live, there's very little crime. I'm pretty sure of that. Because I know you don't live in an urban center. I know that.
When is your party going to do something about
it? Let me say this to you. You hypocrites who don't live in urban centers act as though you're concerned about the crime in urban centers. You're a hypocrite. So if you don't give a rip about the crime in urban centers, but you and others like you,
Why they're recalling the DA in L.A. and San Francisco, because your party doesn't. And it's controlled by Democrats. Chicago, the mayor of Chicago, the nightmare lives on. I mean, you can accuse me of being racist, or whatever you want, Earl. The facts are the facts.
Hey, CJ, you are that. You just don't know it. It's what comes out of your mouth. You are not even bright enough to know that the things you say are bigoted and racist. You're not alone. Listen, you're not alone.
U.S. Code 73, Section 1507, illegal to protest and intimidate a judge. And you don't care.
Let me say this. Again, they protested police. They protested sheriffs. They protest. That's part of what makes this nation what
illegal.
It is. And let me say this.
It's illegal.
Hey, let me say this. If it's illegal, so then do something about.
So look the other way, right, Earl?
Hey, that's not. Way. Hey, let me tell you. Let me say this last thing to you, man, because I, you know, it's a waste of my time with you. If that's the number one issue that is impacting what's happening to people's lives in this country, it shows the disingenuousness of you and the conservatives. So you pick out an issue like, well, they're protesting the judges.
About
can I say damn on the line? Damn, man. That's all you guys
sure,
are concerned about.
I can,
with all the things. Let me say, I am frustrated because of your ignorance. Okay? and you, and again, man, you're nothing more than a parrot. That's it. So all you do is repeat the same thing that you've heard over and over and over. And I know the people in this listening audience
who
are tired of you.
Who campaigned on fixing all
the
this,
people,
Earl?
The
who
people,
campaigned on
the
it?
The people in the listening audience are tired of you, and that's why they've cut you off on
well,
the other shows. That's why they've
they
cut you off.
Tank,
that's why.
They can think of me.
Can I cut him off?
Yeah, cut him off. Do what
everybody else does. I'm so sick of it.
So you know, he can't help himself. But let me do this. I want to move to something different, Sam. I want to talk about a bus driver who says he didn't know that his gummy snacks included THC. Now I'm pretty sure this kind of happens more than any of us care to know about. This is a Bridgeport guy who was driving 38 people to a casino, and he was eating gummies. You know, the gummy bears infused with THC. And he ate so many of them that he passed out on the highway.
Behind the wheel?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And when the police finally caught up to him, he said he didn't know that the gummies had THC in them.
Well, I guarantee you he did not buy them at Pick and Save.
That's something that I guess we should all be leery of now. Because, you know, I don't know. I've never had gummies. You know, not with, you know, gummy bears I've had, but not with THC. I don't know. You know, I hear people say that stuff is potent. And I don't know. Is it more potent than smoking it? No?
I hear that it's sneaks up on you more because you're ingesting it. It's not
right.
More of like an immediate effect. It kind of just all hits you at once.
And then you become disoriented.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know, but I do know that there are probably a lot more people who are, you know, kind of doing the gummy thing than any of us know anything about. And I know it's kind of, it has to affect one in their everyday, you know, involvement in their jobs and all of those kinds of things. You know, I used to think that when I would smoke pot and do my job, yeah, I did that a lot, and it affected me in a way, but I used to smoke it all day, yeah, and all night and all morning. And I did. And I inhaled and did that for a number of years. But, you know, at this stage in my life, you know, it's just not something I choose to do. I'm not opposed to anybody doing it. But reading this article about this guy, 38 years old, who endangered the lives of all of those people, 36 people on the bus. Can you imagine being on the bus, and the guy stops on the expressway because he falls asleep, because he's out of it, because of him having ingested so many gummy bears, you know, THC gummy bears. I don't know. You know, it's, you don't know, because you can buy those things almost anywhere, right? And you know, people and going on bus trips and all those kinds of things. And I wonder if they can tell, or if people who have these CDL licenses, if they are checked for that stuff on a semi-regular or regular basis. You know, I'm pretty sure that they do that with semi drivers. You would think that they would do that with people who, you know, have the CDL licenses and transport people, you know, across the city and across the state and across the country. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to talk a little bit now about, where is it at? Here, I got it right here. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about, do you guys remember John Hinckley? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Does the name John Hinckley ring a bell? It should, if you are in my age demographic, then you should remember a little bit about who John Hinckley is. John Hinckley was a person who really goes down in history. Let me do this. Before we go there, I am joined by Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, good morning to you, Professor Harvey. How you doing, sir? Professor Harvey?
Yeah, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing, sir?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing fine, Professor Harvey, but I was speaking earlier and asking questions about if there's anything that can be done to stop Republicans from taking back over the House and the Senate, and you know, and is there anything Democrats can do? And I also was talking about the fact that these average citizens who are going to vote against their best interests, knowing what Republicans stand for and what they're getting ready to do, why they would turn that over to a party that could care less about the average citizen, to somehow think and believe, Professor Harvey, that giving control over the House and the Senate to Republicans is going to change inflation, is going to somehow, make things better for them as they struggle. I don't understand that. Help me understand that, Professor Harvey.
Well, see, Errol, a lot of times we focus. I was watching C-SPAN yesterday, one of the channels, and I was listening to Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore is the archetypical conservative, you know, who gave economic advice to Donald Trump, and he's always praising the Republican Party. And I tried to call in yesterday online. I was not successful because I guess it was a long wait. Because usually with C-SPAN, they give you, they rotate with a Republican,
right,
a Democrat, and then an independent. But I couldn't get through. But I've, been seeing Stephen Moore over the years. He's always this economic guru and genius, praising Trump for the great economic things that occurred in the whole bit, and he completely ignoring the fact that how they put farmers on welfare. And that's rural America again, the Donald Trump, because by cutting out those seasonal workers coming from Central and from Mexico and Central America, those seasonal workers were the ones that came in and did all the hard backbreaking work that Americans refused to do.
Right.
Working in the fields and the whole bit and in the canneries. And amazingly, as you sit there and listen to him, he was campaigning for Donald Trump. That's what he was doing. Saying that when Donald Trump was in good economic times. But what people fail to understand are two other dynamic reasons why the economy is so bad, and why, when the Republicans get in, the damage that they do. Donald Trump spent $8 trillion in 4 years. That's $2 trillion a year. And a lot of it was caused by that tax cut, that massive tax cut that he gave. Well, 85% of the money went to the wealthy and the corporations. It didn't go to people. So, it's... With the Republicans in charge, you are going to have the table set to automatically jack up the cost of things and delay getting anything done. That's what happened with Obama. If you remember, Obama accomplished the Affordable Care Act and the credit card overhaul. He did several other major things, but he did it in his first 2 years.
Right.
After his first 2 years, the Republicans, if you remember, took back they took back the
Senate,
the House, and then John Boehner went to war and went to work, crippling everything that Obama did. And then in 2015, the 115th Congress came along. And the Republicans took over the Senate. And Obama was in real trouble then. So for only 2 years of Obama's eight, only two, did he have, where the Democrats were in control, more positive legislation was passed than any time since the days of Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Democrat. So, one of the things that people fail to look at is the fact that the Senate and that the House of Representatives, this House and the Senate, they dictate a lot of what we are doing right now with this economic mess. And if you go back and look at what happened with Bill Clinton, the same thing happened with Clinton. Clinton comes in 93 when he takes over, and up until 95, we got a whole lot of stuff done, including passing the huge omnibus bill that eventually led to balancing the budget a few years later. But shortly after that, Newt Gingrich took over in 95. And boy, he went after Bill Clinton. you know, and wanting to be president, because people don't realize that the Speaker of the House is the third ranking member in leadership in this country. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, no, right. I said third.
That's what makes it so prominent. So, you know, McCarthy, who had been licking Donald Trump's boots, he's going to be, and even if, you know, he would make life miserable for Joe Biden for the next 2 years. We're going to see it's a whole lot of hell going on. And it becomes a sickness that the Democrats just saw too soon, because the other part of that third wheel is taking over the state governments. I mean, when you start measuring what's happening with the economy, and I went and looked at the debt clock, you know, and just looked at that thing, and then I went through each, and I went through about 50 states, about 25 states, you know, just looking at them. All of but one were in debt.
So, Professor Harvey, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Professor Bob Harvey is on the line. We'll be right back.
House of Representatives Select Committee on January 6th is holding its first public hearings on the panel's 10-month investigation. Tune in to the Shaw 101 FM at WAUK 540 AM for the broadcasting of the hearings live. The hearings will present previously unseen evidence from the Select Committee's investigation into the Capitol insurrection. Gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House Select Committee public hearings right here on the Shaw 101 FM at WAUK 540 AM.
Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. I'm Sam Butson with your headlines. On Tuesday, a state official cited fentanyl as a source of the increase of opioid deaths in Wisconsin, and curbing the use of the drug is a key goal as the state prepares to receive the first payment of at least $420 million in expected opioid settlement funds. This includes educating about the risk of counterfeit pills and even small amounts of fentanyl found in other drugs. Wisconsin had 1,387 opioid overdose deaths last year. Yesterday, Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington issued a scathing rebuke of former Supreme Justice Michael Gableman's behavior at his hearing last Friday in his order to fine Gableman $2,000 per day until he proves that he has provided all records requests related to his tax-funded review of the 2020 election. Sunny skies are in the forecast today with an expected high of 85 degrees. Winds up to 30 miles per hour with an overnight low of 60 degrees. You're listening to The Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. On the line, Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. And before we went to break, Professor Harvey and I were talking about the fact that we have Republicans who are certainly going to be pushing towards taking control back of the House and the Senate, and I was asking him the questions about how that could possibly be, how people would be willing to vote against their own best interests, you know, in the face of all that we know Republicans stand for and what they've done, yet there are people who are still thinking that somehow if Republicans and when they take back over the House and the Senate, things are going to somehow get better for the average American. And Professor Harvey, you were saying before we went to break, these people clearly don't understand. Those rural farmers and others who have suffered mightily and their middle class dreams have been dashed, they somehow blame that on Democrats. You were saying what, sir?
Sure. I mean, like I said, Stephen Moore was constantly bashing Obama. you know, and that's what the Republicans are going to do. There are one or two Republicans who still believe that that Barack Obama should be impeached. Now, that's just damn stupid because he's no longer in office. And he has no interest in running for any public office. But Errol, this thing goes so much deeper, as I was saying, because, you know, you've got to look at what's happening at the local level as well. I mean, we're not paying enough attention to the states. The states are part of this problem, too. They carry huge economic debt in the whole bit, and naturally, their debt, they want the federal government to try to figure out a way to bail them out. And then you got a recalcitrant Congress, the House and the Senate, and you got a Supreme Court that sews it up. So even when the Republicans have been in power, they have created a mess that has a trickle-down effect. And no one, certainly Donald Trump and no one else, can be blamed for what happened with COVID, a worldwide pandemic that's killed millions of people and crippled everybody's economy. And a lot of this economic mess that we're in is because of, you know, those jobs and stuff that were lost. But, Errol, there's another enemy along with the Congress and along with the state governments that have gone conservative. The other danger is that they now have invoked this dictatorial attitude that they've had for a long time, but it's really manifested itself even more over the last 5 years since the appearance of Donald Trump. And it's a whole new philosophy of aggressive behavior that is going to destroy this country. Yes, it is true. You can't blame the economic mess of Donald Trump. A lot of that was fighting off COVID. Yes, that is true. And yes, one would also say that in a positive sense, when you look at what happened when Bill Clinton's administration, when he was the first president, I think, since Truman, someone to come up with a balanced budget, you can't do that without the Republicans being in charge because they were checking his spending. And by the time Barack Obama left in 2017, you know, the national debt which had gone down to about $950 billion a year because, you know, he had John Boehner that was riding herd on him. And then, of course, when Mitch McConnell got in charge of the Senate in 2015, the same thing happened. So you look at what Biden is in for when the Republicans take over. They will be taking over the House, you know, and they will be taking over the Senate. Even though the majority of American people, are lending towards the trend of either independent or they are what you call progressive or liberal. And we know that now just looking at the numbers, but when you break them down by state, the conservatives control the states. Why? And it comes back down to looking at what I call racial politics again. And that racial politics is that the majority of white America, when you look at the census data, when you look at the census data and you look at the election return results for the last 40 years, the majority of white America has gone conservative, especially the white male. Now, the white women have pretty much, you know, tried to stay the course and be pretty much pro-Democrat or independent. But now, in the last election, in the 2020 election, it showed that the majority of them have also gone rogue. The white male has already been lost. They lost them in 1968 and 70. They lost them then. And elderly whites have been voting that way for years, voting conservative. The old saying of Arthur Schlesinger Jr. in his book New Viewpoints in American History, an intellectual social history that came out in the 1920s, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. Wrote in his book, "The radical of today becomes the conservative of tomorrow," meaning that as people get older, they have a tendency to become more conservative. And I've looked at that philosophy and believe that in many ways it is true. Because I've become more conservative of a lot of things. But I'm never going to lose sight of the fact of denying, you know, human rights and human justice. And that includes a right of a woman to choose and the right to vote. You know, and someone who's level-headed enough to believe that, yeah, I may feel a little safer with a weapon system in my home, but the simple fact is that if I had to give it up for the rest of the world to be safer, I will do it. So there are a lot of things that we need to look at when we start examining the economic crisis that we're in right now. There's so much to look at. And it's not just drive simple as the Republicans taking over Congress and everything is going to be rosy. It doesn't matter whether it's rosy or not. They're going to continue to get elected. And then they get them to act up, Earl. All of a sudden, in comes, you know, the Democrats to bail them out. And that's what happened with the situation when Pelosi finally took over the Congress 2 years into Donald Trump's administration. They immediately start trying to find ways of putting a stop to him, but he had so much momentum and power going, and Mitch McConnell controlled the Senate, that they were able to still accomplish things because Donald Trump just ran roughshod over everybody and didn't get hardly any resistance. So the American people got a lot of work to do, but a lot of this, and I've always said this, that until the majority of white America, you know, see the danger of what they're flirting with right now. Unless they see it, nothing is going to change because they make up 70% of the population or 69% of the population, and they make up 72% of the voting electorate. And with these suppressive laws, that number goes up slightly, up to about 75% of the electorate, you know, in an election. And the saving grace has been young whites between ages of 18 and 25. That group has consistently gone in favor of, you know, leaning towards the Democrats, their ideology and looking after the welfare of the country. So that's where we are right now as a country. We've got a very powerful population, the most powerful population in this country. That's white America, that electorate, and they've gone conservative.
You know,
and that's why you see all these turns.
You know, Professor Harvey, and so based on what you just said, which is factual. Nobody can argue against those facts because we clearly know that that's what's at the root of it. And so there's unless they somehow, you know, come to the realization that, you know, Donald Trump and conservative politics aren't going to make things better for their lives, we're just headed in this situation, Professor Harvey, where we can't change it.
Well, you know, Earl, and that's the frustrating thing about it. But if you take a look at the numbers, when you know look at places like you know that like California and New York.
Professor Harvey, hang on a second.
Yeah.
We've got to go to a break.
Okay.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line, Professor Bob Harvey. You know, Professor Harvey, it's almost a foregone conclusion and somehow with where we are economically, and I keep trying to get people to understand where we are economically right now is not going to turn around overnight. The recession that we are headed into, the pain at the pumps, you know, the inflation, none of these things, Professor Harvey, are going to turn around overnight. And so it's almost a kiss of death for the Democratic Party. There's no way that any of this is going to recover in time for the 2020, midterm elections. So therefore, we just about know the outcome of these things, and the pain that we are going to suffer is going to be long lasting. So,
it's going to we just leapfrog through history. We've been doing it, Earl, really since the election of Bill Clinton in '92. I mean, I just tracked it and just looked at it, and that's what we have done in this country. And we want to blame the Democrats. We want to blame the Republicans. We want to blame the Congress. We want to blame the president. We even want to blame corporate America, because corporate America has a role to play in this. But the truth of the matter is that the American people are the ones who take that blame. You know, I was watching a show the other night on the Military History Channel. I stomach looking at it on occasions now because it has such a conservative twist to it. But I was looking at it, and it was dealing with the rise of Hitler and the Third Reich back in the 1930s. And everybody was talking about how Hitler, when he came to power, he promised to put everybody to work. Well, yeah, he did. He ended inflation in Germany. And believe it or not, he helped boom the economy for the rest of Europe as well, and then eventually the United States. Because war is a very lucrative and expensive commodity then, you know, and it, you know, you had Hitler, he put everybody to work because he put everybody in attached to the military-industrial complex to fight his war. And so they were talking about how he did, some of the German people were talking about how he did wonders for their economy and put them back to work. Yes. But look at what he did to bring that about. And so, you know, when you look at the history of Germany, and you have so many Germans now who have felt that, now felt guilty because of what happened in Germany, my thing is, you should feel guilty because you're the ones that put him in power. Hitler could not have gone and stayed in power as long as he did. And neither could Mussolini down in Italy. They couldn't have stayed in power as long as they did if it weren't for the people putting them there. And that's the same scenario that's playing out here in the United States, except that the majority of the American people, when you bring them all together as a conglomerate group, the majority of the American people don't want that lifestyle. But they're outnumbered by the people in power and key positions. And we're certainly not focusing on the state level. You know, we got young people all over this place. I ain't even interested in voting. And that's true whether it's in North Carolina or Wisconsin or anywhere else. They don't even care about voting. They just don't.
Well, you know, Professor Harvey, there's so many people who aren't interested in voting because they don't see the correlation between what's happening in their lives and the fact that you vote, you know, and I've talked with many young people and many older people who just don't believe in this form of democracy.
Yes, they don't until it hits them. Like when they saw the antics and the clownishness of Donald Trump, it shook the American people up and scared the bejesus out of them for the presidency. And so they went out there. So every 4 years, they do feel it, and they've been coming out. Remember of the four elections that the American people had since 2000, in which Republicans were the two elections that the Republicans have had where they won, and that's with Bush in 2000, and of course Donald Trump, 2016. when those individuals came in, if you look at it, except for one of those elections that Bush had in 2004, the president was a minority president, meaning that the majority of the American people didn't vote for him. He lost the election in the popular vote, you know, by a nice side, though. Bush lost by 500,000 in the first one. And Donald Trump lost by the over almost 3 million in his in 2016. And had he stayed in power and did pull off his little coup, he would have lost by 7 million votes. 7 million. Yes, 74 million people voted for him. And that was frightening and alarming. But 81 million people braved all types of situations to get in there to cast their vote to get that clown out of office. And the damage that he caused, though, just so horrendous. And that's largely because of the fact that there's a large number of people who believe in him, and that's what you're seeing in these states and runoffs to go to Congress. They're putting people in there that are just as bad as Green and some of the others. And so that's what you're going to get. And even if the Democrats manage to hang on to one of the houses in 2022, what you're going to find is that their timidness is going to be so bad that they're not going to get a lot of things done. Now, if the Republicans win, especially in the House, which they may do, if they win, they're going to switch the hearing from the January 6th committee. They're going to squash that. That's dead. And what they're going to do is they're going to go after Hunter Biden. Because their goal is they won't be able to, they want to try to damage Biden, Joe Biden, for the 2024 election. They want to damage him so bad that a Republican like Donald Trump will return and go back into the White House. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go after that. They're going to have those hearings. And the only problem is they can't pass anything worth the darn, because in order to pass something, make it law, they got to go through the president for a signature. But they can certainly scuff him up and go after all these people and subpoena and go after folk. Because one thing about it, they know how to conduct hearings, because they are dictatorial and fascist and mean-spirited in their questions and hostile. Look what they did with Hillary Clinton. They went after her like nobody's business to tarnish her for the upcoming 2016 election. And they did a good job. They did a damn good and effective job on her. That was the whole bit. And look at it. The moment the election was over and Donald Trump won, all of those investigations stopped. They stopped. They just disappeared. Suddenly Benghazi was not on the radar screen, and suddenly his private server, her private server and all this other stuff with her computer, that was gone too.
Professor Avi, hang on a second. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. On the line, Professor Bob Harvey. We'll be back.